Ukraine is now closer to NATO than ever before. Allies reaffirmed that Ukraine will become a member of NATO and agreed to remove the requirement for a membership action plan. This will change Ukraine's membership path from a two-step process to a one-step process. We will issue an invitation for Ukraine to join NATO when allies agree that conditions are met. This sends a clear, strong and united message from our Vilnius summit. We must ensure that when this war ends, there are credible arrangements in place for Ukraine's security, so that history does not repeat itself. I welcome that many allies have now committed to providing long-term security assistance to Ukraine. This will help deter any future aggression from Russia after the war ends. This morning, we met with the leaders of Australia, Japan, New Zealand and South Korea, as well as the European Union. NATO is a regional alliance, but we face global challenges. What happens in Europe matters to the Indo-Pacific. What happens in the Indo-Pacific matters to North America and Europe. Beijing's global assertiveness and Moscow's war against Ukraine require even closer coordination between NATO, the EU, and our Indo-Pacific partners. We condemn North Korea's nuclear and missile programs, including its latest missile launch. This violates multiple UN Security Council resolutions and poses a threat to regional and global security. NATO is reinforcing our ties with Australia, Japan, New Zealand and South Korea with tailored partnership programs, including joint work on issues like maritime security, new technologies, cyber, climate change and resilience. We will work even more closely together, standing strong for the rules-based international order. We face the most serious security situation in decades, but allies are rising to the challenge. NATO is more united than ever, standing strong in defense of our people and our values. I would like to close by thanking President Nauseda, the Lithuanian government and the people of Vilnius for hosting this historic summit. I look forward to the Washington summit next year, marking the 75th anniversary of our alliance. And with that, I'm ready to take some questions.
Politico.
Thank you very much, Elite Byer from Politico. Secretary General, after reading the communique, some Ukrainians have raised concerns that perhaps some Western capitals may be preparing for a situation where Ukraine's NATO membership would be a chip in a negotiation with Russia. What is your response to Ukrainians who have that concern at the moment? Thank you.
We had a very good meeting with President Zelensky and his delegation today, where he welcomed the very strong message from NATO allies. He welcomed the establishment of the NATO-Ukraine Council and also the clear commitment to move Ukraine closer to membership. So this was not an issue raised in any of those meetings. And I think it is extremely important to recognize that the decisions we have made, all NATO allies, is the strongest ever message on Ukraine and membership that this alliance ever made. By stating clearly that Ukraine will become a member, that Ukraine's future is in NATO, and also then describing the path forward with the practical support for ensuring interoperability, with strengthening the political ties with the NATO-Ukraine Council, and then by removing the requirement for a membership action plan. Then negotiations to solve the conflict in Ukraine will only happen when Ukraine is ready for negotiations. And as we have stated again and again, nothing about Ukraine without Ukraine. What we do know is that the more military support we provide to Ukraine, the more land they are able to liberate, the stronger their hand will be at the negotiating table. And therefore, we continue, and the message from this summit and from NATO allies with new announcements of long-range cruise missiles, of more armored vehicles with more advanced air defense systems and training of F-16 pilots, is that we support them to liberate land so they will have a stronger hand at the negotiating table. That's what this is about. It's not about NATO negotiating on behalf of Ukraine.
Okay, we'll go to the gentleman in the front row here.
Hello, Ken Moriyasu from Nikkei Asia. Secretary General, there was talk about opening a NATO liaison office in Tokyo, but that was not mentioned in the communique whatsoever. Is this plan dead, or is there plans to revive it towards the end of the year? Is opening at a different location an option? And we know that France was very much openly opposed to this plan. Were there any other countries that were opposed to the idea as well? Thank you.
This morning I met with Prime Minister Kishida from Japan, and that was a very good meeting where we both recognized and stated clearly the importance of further strengthening the partnership, the work we do together, Japan and NATO. It is also Prime Minister Kishida that has so clearly stated that what happens in Europe matters for Asia, and what happens in Asia matters for Europe. And he also went to Ukraine and visited Kyiv and demonstrated his clear commitment to provide support to Ukraine. We also agreed today a new individual partnership program between NATO and Ukraine, where we describe the different work strands where we're going to deepen our cooperation. This is about cyber, it's about maritime security, it's about countering hybrid threats, including disinformation, and in other areas where we see the potential for NATO and Japan working more closely together. The issue of liaison office is still on the table. It will be considered in the future.
Okay. Yonhap News Agency, lady in the third row. Yeah.
Yes. How will NATO engage more in Indo-Pacific security regarding China and North Korea? And how will the partnership with Indo-Pacific partners develop in the future? Are you planning to invite them next year too?
A very strong and clear message from this meeting, and especially the meeting we had with our partners this morning, the Indo-Pacific partners, Australia, Japan, South Korea and New Zealand, is that security is not regional, security is global, and therefore we need really have to stand together. China's heavy investments in new military capabilities demonstrates that. We expect that China by 2035 will have 1,500 nuclear warheads on missiles that can reach North America and the whole of Europe, NATO territory. We see how China is coming closer to us. This is not about NATO becoming a global military alliance, but this is about recognizing that this region faces global challenges, and the rise of China is a part of that, and that China is coming close to us in Africa, in the Arctic, but also trying to control critical infrastructure, and of course we see them also in cyberspace. So therefore we have now different tailored programs with all our Indo-Pacific partners describing different areas, but it's very often, so it's partly about cyber, countering disinformation, maritime security. There's also Japanese staff at NATO's maritime headquarters in Northwood in the United Kingdom. So we are working on different practical ways of working together, including by participating or participation of Asia-Pacific or Indo-Pacific partners in our cyber exercises. So we are gradually expanding what we are doing together simply because our security is interlinked, and just a recent missile launch of North Korea demonstrates that, because that's, of course, a challenge to the region. It's a threat to the region, but it's also undermining global peace and stability, the North Korean missile and nuclear programs and the launch we just saw yesterday.